The music was incredible. Thank you very much. I felt like I've been to a concert today. And all the three songs were amazing. This is my old stomping grounds. Years back, I actually went to college straight from New York to here. It was quite a shift. Remember these big, was it the Wagon Wheel? Is that the, yeah, yeah. We used to go to the Wagon Wheel. We used to order pitchers of that 3-2 beer. Of course, in those days, we were always interested in expanding our consciousness in different means. Finally, I read a Buddhist monk, several Buddhist monks, saying the way to get there was to meditate. And we were thinking, well, we were doing all this stuff to see if we could get to these higher states of consciousness. And the Buddhist monk said to give it all up, do it the meditation way. I was talking to all my friends, and they didn't believe it. So I saw this little poster on TM on the campus, and I said, okay, I'm going to do TM. So I did the TM and gave up the recreational chemicals and found it worked. So a lot of people did the same thing at the same time in those days. Now, today we're going to talk about miracles. And science hates miracles. The idea of a miracle means something happens without a law of nature, breaks a law of nature, beyond time, space, limitations. But the truth of the matter is, miracles are now happening in science on a regular basis. Especially in quantum physics. First, let me give you some laws of nature that are violated continually. First one is a good one. An object can't be in two different spots at the same time, right? Wrong. Electron, remember this in What the Bleep, electron circling the atom. If there's nobody watching it, there's no eyes there, then all of a sudden it turns into energy waves. So it's everywhere all at the same time, not just two different places, everywhere at the same time. Even more mind-blowing is something called quantum entanglement. We know the fundamental law of all of physics, in fact, the whole universe, is the Einstein's theory of relativity. Nothing can go faster than the speed of light. Well, in 1931, two very famous physicists named Schrödinger and Heisenberg proposed quantum entanglement using mathematical equations. And what quantum entanglement is, you have two electrons circling an atom. If you separate these guys, or gals, whatever they are, by a million miles, if you push on one of them, the other one instantaneously will go in the exact same direction, which is fine. But here's the problem. If they were to communicate with each other, it would be faster than the speed of light, because instantaneous means instantaneous. So Einstein hated that. One of his favorite quotes is, God doesn't play dice with the universe. At one point, he called it spooky action at a distance. Seriously. 1981, Einstein was proved wrong. The communication was faster than the speed of light. Now with the new cyclotron, they just did another one of these things 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, and they find not only did the two electrons communicate faster than the speed of light, it was 10,000 times faster than the speed of light. You're going to break a law of nature, you might as well go all the way. However, the spookiest thing going on in physics today is something they tried to sweep underneath the rug, but they weren't able to do it. And that is consciousness. Consciousness is the new frontier of physics. Because I just kind of mentioned it when I talked about the electron thing. You cannot have matter unless you have consciousness. That's because when nobody's observing those waves of energy, they remain waves of energy. Now, most of you probably seen the movie What to Bleep. So I'll visualize it a little bit for you. Remember that little slit they had there? They were shooting those electrons through it, and they all line up in a nice line on the back wall. There was a little eye there watching, which is consciousness. Take away the eye, those little balls no longer become balls. They become energy waves, and you actually had 8 lines or 16 lines of lining up in the back wall because they're energy waves interfering with each other, and they're no longer particles. The biggest dilemma, and there's a bunch of studies that have proven this, the biggest dilemma that physics has is where is the consciousness that's creating the miracles that we see around us? A couple of physicists from Stanford, which is no slouch of a physics university, have proposed that we're creating the universe by looking through it in our telescopes. I think that's a stretch. A couple of physicists from India have suggested that maybe the whole universe is consciousness itself, observing itself. So either way, you can't throw out consciousness. Some people have even said maybe that proves there's a God. Interesting idea. Of course, scientists would never say that. But regardless, no matter how you slice it, consciousness is the key. Now, there's four groups of research studies that prove that consciousness has miracle properties beyond time-space limitations. The first group is the prayer research, which, by the way, Unity Church has been an active participant in. One of the reasons I like Unity Church so much is because they believed in their message so much they subjected it to scientific scrutiny and been involved with some of the most amazing prayer studies that have been done. The second group is the group that I was involved with, the group on meditation. And the group on meditation, those of you who saw the movie, we took 4,000 meditators into Washington, D.C. and actually changed the crime rates while we were there. And I'll tell you a bunch of stuff on that. I can say talk about it for hours, but we'll just kind of summarize it. The third group is the group of research that shows that we can know things before they happen. There's been an amazing thing happen in that in the last year. And the fourth group of research study is the studies from Princeton, which shows that consciousness can actually influence machines. Far out kind of stuff. So let's start with the prayer research. We're all familiar with the prayer research. The first studies were done, they'd pray for one ward of the hospital, they wouldn't pray for the surrounding wards. And the ward they prayed for would get well faster, have less need for antibiotics, have better quality of life, in some cases less deaths than the surrounding wards. And they did about 15 of these studies. And most scientists poo-pooed these studies. They said what was happening was the people doing the praying happened to pick the ward of the hospital that had the best doctors and the best nurses. And the people doing the praying had an uncanny knack for figuring out which of those wards had the best doctors and nurses. Every time they seemed to pick a ward, they were the ones that had the best doctors and best nurses. So finally, they did a double-blind study, which is the Cadillac version of research. You put people in groups. You pray for one group. You don't pray for the other group, but they're interspaced randomly through the hospital. And lo and behold, they had the exact same research findings as the other research studies. So finally, after a bunch of, there's probably been 250 really good studies on prayer and a bunch of them that are not well designed but still show the same results. And finally, after all this, most scientists started saying, well, you know, prayer is important, but it's really not prayer, it's positive thinking. But is prayer positive thinking? Interesting question. We all know the value of positive thinking. You wouldn't be coming to this church if you didn't know the value of positive thinking. So, Unity Church actually participated in a study on this. They did something called a triple-blind study. Now, what's a triple-blind study? A triple-blind study is the person who's being prayed for doesn't know they're being prayed for. So let's say I'm sick, and you're praying for me, and I get well faster because you're praying for me, but you didn't tell me that she was praying for me. There's no way I could have known, right? That's a triple-blind study. So what they did is they took everybody in a hospital, going into a hospital for a six-month period. It was a hospital in Kansas City, so the study was done right around the corner. And half the people were prayed for, half the people weren't prayed for. Even the doctors and nurses didn't know there was a study going on, so there could be no interference from any source. And again, they had the exact same results as the other prayer research. This is mind-blowing. Prayer is not just positive thinking. There's something else going on. So, another group out of Columbia decided to do their own triple-blind study. And they decided to give it a real test. What they had is people in America praying for people in Korea. So somehow the prayers had to go through molten rock and whatever else is inside the middle of the earth and arrive at the right person in Korea. And it was also women's in vitro fertilization clinic, women trying to get pregnant. And what they found was, again, the women didn't know they were being prayed for, and what they found was the women who were being prayed for had a 50% greater chance of getting pregnant than the women who weren't being prayed for. Brings up a whole new dimension to the idea of immaculate conception, but we won't touch that one today. All you ex-Catholics out there. Just saw the Pope had a four-hour prayer for peace. I love that. That's really good. Yeah, they're learning. We're teaching them. The more prayer, the better. Good for it. Go for it. I love it. So, now let's see. Now, I should probably say this. Not all the prayer research has come out significant. There's been a handful of studies that haven't been significant. But on the whole, the prayer research is by far more reliable than almost anything else we study. Look at coffee. 1 week, it's good for you. Next week, another study comes out, it's bad for you, right? Remember eggs? If you look at an egg, you get a heart attack. And they say you couldn't eat that really good-tasting yellow stuff in the middle. You have to eat this slimy white stuff on the outside. Then finally said, whoops, we're wrong again. New England Journal of Medicine 2 years ago. Eggs don't cause heart attack. Cholesterol doesn't cause heart attack. Inflammation causes heart attacks. Okay? I don't know why they still keep people statin drugs, but there's probably some good reason. But anyway, you get the point. The bigger question is, how come even one study came out significant with prayer? Because, here's the kicker. There is no energy in our brain that can go out to Korea, much less even 2 feet away. Our brain is a whip as far as energy electromagnetic fields goes. The energy doesn't go past your skull bone. That's why we need, you know, all these elaborate machines to look inside the brain. So what is that energy, or whatever this thing is, that's showing all these amazing results? Sounds like spooky action at a distance to me. The second group, which is the meditation research, I won't be able to say too much about it. But we went to Washington, D.C. First of all, I was the first person to get any of these studies done, way back in the 1980s. And we had... We did all kinds of stuff. Actually, Lawrence, Kansas is one of the first places I looked at for studies. We had a bunch of people doing meditation in Lawrence, Kansas, one of the first studies I looked at. We looked at crimes, we looked at auto accidents, even suicides. They all went down. As soon as the city had a magical number of 1% of the people population meditating, we found a huge increase in the quality of life with all those negative things going down. Amazing stuff. But anyway, then in the Washington, D.C. study, it was kind of a proof. We'd already done about 40 studies, and they all came out significant. So we thought we'd just waltz into Washington, D.C., show the mayor, Marion Barry. Remember Marion Barry, the cocaine mayor? He was clean then. And Bill Clinton had just gotten elected. He didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. We'd all sit in this big, huge ballroom, all 4,000 of us, and... we'd get there about 8 o'clock in the morning, meditate till about noon or one, and then we'd get out, and then we'd come back about 3 and go to about 7, all right? And while we were there, the crimes went down 23%. Now, here's an interesting question for you again. We meditated all day. We did, you know, took a little break between each meditation. During that time, how often did we think about crimes? During the whole meditations? That'd be all day long? Or do we think about it once a day? Or do we think about it zero? Perfect. Brilliant. We never once thought about crimes. All those people that are married to intentions, just throw them out the window. That's why you're not getting what you want. The ultimate irony in this whole thing is you can't get to the quantum by trying to get there. Even though it's everywhere, you can't get there by trying. So this is an interesting dilemma. That's kind of a teaser, by the way. So, because I'm not going to go into it to now. All right, so the third group of research studies, because I only have 20 minutes to give a talk, so I got to kind of, otherwise it'll yank me off. So the third group of research studies is kind of even more mind-blowing. And this one was a study was done 12 years ago by accident. What happened was they were kind of doing a psychic study. They had a bunch of TV screens all lined up and people were looking at the screens, and every 8 seconds a new photograph would come up on the screen. And the photograph was either negative or positive. The negative ones were very gruesome, people in morgues. The positive ones were nature scenes. And the people had to guess in advance which one was going to come up, and they couldn't do it. But lucky for us, that's not the end of the story. Because the negative photo was so gruesome, they decided to hook people up to something called a GSR machine, galvanic skin response. Very similar to a lie detector. What it does is it measures anxiety in your body. They figured there'd be a spike in anxiety every time the negative photo was presented because it was so gruesome. Well, guess what? They did indeed find that spike of anxiety. But the spike of anxiety happened 2 seconds before the negative photo was presented. In other words, our body knew it was going to happen before our mind did. And of course, they thought it was a mistake. So they redid that study in another laboratory, independent laboratory in Europe. They wanted to get as far away from that laboratory as they could. And they found the same results there. And then they looked at MRIs inside the brain. They find the whole brain would light up with anxiety about 4 seconds before the negative photo was presented. Remember that old adage, I knew it in my gut? There's a lot of truth to that. Well, nobody did anything with this study for years. Then last year, a very famous psychologist by the name of Dr. Bem, I've taught psychology classes even here at University of Kansas. He's in all the textbooks and all the advanced, and also he's well known. He decided to revisit the study using college freshmen. And he did it, I think, 10 times. 9 of them came out significant. And he submitted for publication in the most conservative psychological journal of social psychology. And he got it published. But the journal editor said, he obviously has made a mistake. It was anybody else but other than Dr. Bem. We wouldn't even publish it in the first place. Can you help us figure out what he did wrong? There's no way our bodies can know what's going to happen before our minds do. Tells you where psychology is at. But that doesn't mean there aren't some good psychologists out there, but it just means that the mainstream is kind of not caught up to those good psychologists. So that thing is kind of had a huge big breakthrough. We are indeed quantum beings, beyond time, space limitations. Now, the last group of research, even more amazing. This is the research done in Princeton by scientists and engineers there. They had the theory, well, if our consciousness is in quantum field, let's devise a machine which is quantum field based. If we devise a machine which is quantum field based, maybe the consciousness in our mind can interact with this machine. So they use cosmic radiation from outer space. And cosmic radiation from outer space is indeed a quantum field, fine particles. In fact, it's so reliable, you can set clocks to it. They call them atomic clocks. They run by cosmic radiation. So the machines were very reliable, in fact, extremely reliable. And they have an output. They called it a random number generator of 101010 using the cosmic radiation. And tunneling effect, if you know about that, I don't want to explain it, but that's what they did. So basically, the bottom line is they had college freshmen get up there and concentrate on the machine to see if they could change the output from the machine. And after hundreds of thousands of trials, they were able to change the output. And what they were trying to do to change it was from 1010 to 1111 or 000. Okay? That's a dramatic change. And they were able to find it. But it took hundreds of thousands of trials and was a very weak effect. Personally, I don't know how they managed it. I remember when I was a freshman here at this college, I could barely get out of bed, much less influence a quantum field random number generator. But they had the brilliant idea of putting about 4 or 5 of these kids together and had them concentrate on the machine to see if they could change it, have a bigger effect on it. And they found the more people doing it, the stronger the effect. So what they did is they put these machines all over the world. In fact, they're going on as we speak. And what they do is they measure the collective consciousness. Every time there is an event happening, like the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, billions of people watch those events. And the machines go crazy. By going crazy, instead of 1010, they start doing 111 or 000. We don't know what they're going to do. They'll do one or the other. They have their mind of their own, so to speak. And they have about 250 of these events. There's Katrina, the tsunami, the OJ trial verdict, remember that one? And, 9/11 was the most, yeah. I'll tell you, I'm gonna go take a break. Why don't you go? You know about that one too? That's good. That's good. And no, I'm going to ask a question. You can't answer it then. She was good on the other answer. All right. So and of course, with these machines were going on during 9/11, and two amazing things happened. First of all, the machines went crazy for 4 straight days, which I've never done before. But even more amazing, the machines went crazy 4 hours before 9/11 actually happened, before the terrorists even got in the airplanes. Amazing. It's a predictor. So what I've done is we've kind of outlined probably about 1,000 studies that proves that we are quantum, or at least our consciousness has quantum field properties beyond time space limitations. Okay? And this has several implications, lots of implications actually, not the least of which is life after death. Because most scientists believe that our brain and consciousness are interwoven, it's a byproduct of our brain. With the idea that when our brain dies, our consciousness dies. But if our consciousness is quantum field based, beyond time space limitations, then there can be no death. There's a part of consciousness that remains. That's an obvious. Another one. Together, we can make a much bigger difference than we can alone. When we do these group meditations here in this church, long as we can, that is having a big impact on the outside world. I have had so many people tell me they feel helpless. They feel all this negativity in the outside world. We are making a difference. We're making a difference. Just the other day, a month ago, the amount of people who are now for gay marriage is 65%. 3 years ago, it was 65% against. There was no big political shift, there was no big this, no big that. It was a shift in the collective consciousness towards love. We are doing that. Another one, nobody wants to bomb. As terrible as that is, nobody wants to bomb the Syria thing. Bomb is going at it alone. Nobody in the whole world wants them to do it. So even the Pope starting to get on the bandwagon. He had a four-hour prayer, unheard of, never been done before. We as a collective in the humanity are moving in the direction of love and support. And we are the ones that are making the difference through our meditations. Our individual work is making the difference, even better when we do it collectively. I had a lady who took one of my classes in Nashville, the Unity Church. She said, I just love the analogy of the two electrons. If you push on one electron, the other electron goes in the exact same direction. All we got to do is do our own individual work, and we're starting to make changes in the outside world. However, even more importantly, well, not more importantly, but you know, for effect, I'll say that. we all have doubts. Everybody in here at one point or another has doubts. And it's so nice to be living in a time when science is proving to us to be what we know to be true in our hearts. So it kind of erases those doubts. It's okay. We're living in the time where science is supporting spirituality. A very, very exciting time. Thank you very much for inviting me. I want to say a couple words about the seminar we're going to have today and tomorrow. It's when I do these seminars, one of the questions I always ask everybody in the seminar, how many people know what their problems are, but they keep making the same mistakes over and over again? Everybody's hand always goes up. And that's not your fault. This is due to old brain pathways. We now have the technology to change these brain pathways. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to teach you this technology. One of the things that we're going to be using is tapping on acupuncture points with your fingers, okay? And if we do this, we're going to mix it with heart math, which is what we did with the meditation I just showed you with, Because we're going to use the heart math as a vehicle to get into the quantum. Because not only are we going to teach you how to get rid of the blocks, we want to get you into a deep state of consciousness so you can get rid of the subconscious blocks, because that's the new frontier. Everybody tells you they got a technique for removing blocks, but here's the key. Deepak Chopra just wrote a book about it. Wayne Dyer just interviewed Bruce Lipton. They're all saying we got to get to the subconscious stuff. So that's what this class will do, is teach you how to get to the subconscious stuff. But also we're going to teach you how to manifest using quantum field technology. The same techniques we used when we went to Washington and changed the crime rates. But we're also going to, I also did another experiment I forgot to tell you about. We just did a Dallas Peace Project there, and we had 1,000 people tapping using the quantum way of tapping, which is different than regular tapping. Kind of meditate while we're tapping. It's kind of a long, involved process, but you can teach it. I can teach it real easily. But anyway, the bottom line is we were able to reduce the crime rates, and they stayed down over 25% for 3 straight years. We had the CSL, Science Center for Spiritual Living, and the Dallas Unity Church all doing the same thing at the same time. These techniques work. So we're going to teach you also how to manifest the life of your dreams. It's a 2-day class. It really needs more than that, but sometimes people can't make Sunday, so I allow them to come on Monday. Or you can come Sunday, because I'm going to teach manifestation both days. If I get a chance to healing today, I will, but I will for sure do healing tomorrow. I'll try to heal everybody in the class using this technology. But I can't promise that for today, because we have a lot of stuff to cover. So, but you'll learn all these techniques, and we're going to teach you how to manifest the life of your dreams. This class will be life transforming. And if you can't make either of those two classes, did I say come early on Monday? If you can't make today's class, come early on Monday at 5:30. Normally the class starts at 6:30. We'll have a group meditation at 6. But if you can't make either of the two classes, you can get my DVD, Tap Into Bliss, and Manifest the Life of Your Dreams CD, and put them together, and that'll be equivalent to the class. So at least you can kind of still bring the class home with you if you can't make either day. So you get a bunch of stuff. You get a free DVD. You get a workbooks, all kinds of stuff to take home with you. I try to make sure you have everything to take home with you you can possibly get. So that's it in a nutshell. Also sign the mailing list. I periodically come back and do seminars sometimes in this area. I'd love to have you on my mailing list. You guys are really close, so we can do something. I probably taught 1,000 people at Unity of Overland Park. I haven't done one in a couple, 3 years with the new minister they're having. I'll probably do one there. So if you can't make this one, I'll do it. And I also do classes on healing, how to train people how to heal. So, certificates and all that kind of stuff from MEFT. So anyway, that's it in a nutshell. I'll look forward to seeing you this afternoon. What time does it start?
One.
Okay, perfect. That'll be good. I've got some nuts if anybody can't get it. Anybody's hungry, I got a little snack with me. So, do you have snacks here?
We'll have some.
Okay, perfect. All right, thank you very much.